book tonight to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. Tonight we're going to deal with the topic of temptation. Temptation, this account, as you're turning there, we know that the Lord in the previous chapter, in chapter number 3, he went to John the Baptist to be baptized, and John said, "I have need to be baptized of thee." But the Lord told him to baptize him, and he did. And it says in verse 16 of chapter number 3, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And then we'll begin reading, we'll keep on reading into chapter number 4. And this will be the text where we get our idea from tonight. We'll read the first 11 verses. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus saith unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." We'll pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, Lord. Thank you for the people that are here tonight gathered in your house, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the reading of the Word of God and the preaching tonight, that it wouldn't be my words, Lord, but it'd be your words, Lord, because I have nothing to say, Lord, but you have everything to say. So, Lord, I pray you'd be with me tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. The title of this message that I got here is How to Fight Temptation. The Lord here he went into the wilderness, and it says that he was gone into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And then it says in verse 2 that when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. First thing I see here is the devil does not tempt us when he thinks that we're strong. He comes and gets us when we're weak. I know that we understand that God was all God, but he was also a man. It says that he was hungry. He said that he was in hunger. He had not ate for 40 days. And I'm sure that if one of us went 40 days without eating, I'm sure myself included in that, I'd be pretty hungry after that. I'd also be weak. I'd be tired. It'd be very easy for the devil to get in there and to start stirring my heart toward things that the easy way out. And that's what he began to offer the Lord, the first thing there. He began to offer the Lord there. But number one, I find the tempter in this text. The tempter. It isn't a question of if you will be tempted, but when. It says that, and when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." So first of all, there was a tempter. The tempter has a goal and a mission, and that is to take and destroy as many lives as he can. He will lie, he will cheat, he will deceive. He'll wrap sin up in a nice wrapping paper, kind of like our presents we get on Christmas. They're all nice, and they're wrapped up. And I don't know about you, but I've had this happen sometimes. I open it up, and it's not what I wanted. And sometimes that's what happens with us. The devil will wrap it up in a nice wrapping paper, and as soon as we open it, it'll destroy us. It'll be everything that he said it wouldn't be. He'll promise you a life of happiness and joy. He'll promise you a life of pleasure, but in the end, all it brings is pain and woes. That's what the devil wants to do, and that is what his job is to do. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10, in verse number 10, that the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. The devil knows that he has a final destination in the lake of fire with his army. But he doesn't want to go there alone. He wants to take as many people with him as possible. That's why he's out there working so hard every night, every day, to take people with him. And that is why we are here as Christians. We're here to tell them of the good news of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ so that he doesn't get his way. The tempter doesn't get his way. That they could be saved from that. And number three, I find here about the tempter, is that if he can't keep a person from getting saved, he will buffet them while they are saved. He will come at you from every angle. You see, his number one goal is to keep you from ever knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. His number one goal is to keep you from ever hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ. But if he can't keep you from hearing and from receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, he will cause you to doubt and confuse and confusion. His desire is to sift us as wheat. That's what his desire is. If the devil can get you to doubt what God has done, you won't have victory. If it is something that we have to obtain or maintain, then it is not a work of God, but of man. And you say, well, what am I talking about? There's many people today that they get saved and they feel like they have to maintain their salvation by doing good works. And the problem with that is it gets them to a place of confusion. Am I doing enough? Have I done enough? Did I say the right thing? Did I do the right thing? Or you have the other part of religion that they keep you doing works in order to earn your salvation. And neither one of those is the way that God set it up to be. The devil is a confuser while God is a completer. God declared it and God settled it. His work on the cross finished the work that needed to be done to earn or keep our salvation. The work is God's. In John chapter 6 and verse 37 through 40, the Bible tells us that all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, it also tells us that, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. There may come a time in your life, and maybe it already has come, where maybe you might fall, and the tempter might get you to do something that you know you shouldn't have done. And then he'll say, well, now you're not good enough. Now you have to start earning your salvation. God will never take you back. The problem with that is that if you have truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. And there's nothing that you can do to take yourself out of the hand of God, because we are sealed unto the day of redemption. So while the devil tries to unsettle things, the Lord settles those things. But not only do I find the tempter in this text, I also find the temptations. I find the temptations. In 1 John 2, 15 through 17, we find the three main temptations on which all temptations are laid upon. The Bible tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The Bible here gives us three clear main areas of temptation. Number one, we find the lust of the eyes. And we find these in verse 8, 9, and 10. And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The lust of the eyes, these are things that we look at, the things that we see. The Bible tells us that our eyes affect our hearts. And I've always heard that in the context of missions. We know our brother Hewitt will use that sometimes. He'd say, you know, your eye affects your heart. Go see the mission field. But not only will it affect your heart for the things of God, if you're looking at the things of the world, it affects your heart towards things of the world. We got to watch what we're looking at. The devil will show you things that the flesh wants. If you turn on the TV, that's all it is. It feeds the flesh. The fleshly desires, the cars, the parties, all the things the Lord, that not the Lord wants you to see, but the devil wants you to see. He wants to show you these things. And he'll try to get your eyes off of Jesus and onto the pleasures of the world. So first of all, we see the lust of the eyes. Next, I find the lust of the flesh. In verse number 3, it says, And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. We already found out that he was hungry. This is the lust of the flesh, the satisfactions, the food, the sleep, the basic comforts of life. You know, it's hard. I don't want to say it's hard to serve God, because it's not if we're walking in the Spirit. But if we're walking in our flesh, we cannot do the will of God, because our flesh doesn't want to be uncomfortable. And doing the will of God a lot of times is uncomfortable. It's not comfortable for us to go up to a person and tell them they're on their way to hell. But that is what the Lord has commanded us to do. He's commanded us. He could have done it by himself. He did the work on the cross. He could save the world from all their sin. But he has chosen for us to be his disciples, to go out and tell the world of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we let the lust of the flesh consume us, we will get to the place where we're so comfortable that we won't want to give up those comforts for the things of Christ. In other countries, I think about it, people will be willing to lose their jobs, lose their families, all their relationships, be cut off from society for the cause of Christ. And really, I think it's a first world problem, this lust of the flesh, because we have everything to lose for Christ. But that's what we have to do. We have to be willing to lose it all for Christ. Our satisfactions, we have to be willing to lose those things. But lastly, I find of the temptations, we have the pride of life, and that is in verse number 6 and 7. It says, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He looked at him and said, you prophesied that you would be able to jump off of this. You'd be able to jump off of this pinnacle of the temple, and the angels would come down and they would keep you from hitting a rock. You're God. This is who you are. You have all power. Just do it. I want you to do it. Prove to me who you are. But basically what he was questioning the Lord was the idea that we have somehow arrived, that we begin to rely on the things that we have seen, heard, and done. We begin to forget the grace and mercy that was showed to us at salvation. I think about how many accounts we have read of people who once started out in the faith and have wavered. Let that not be us. Let us stay strong. Let us stay humble. The Lord could have easily proven to the devil that he was God, but he let the word of God prove to him who he was. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He used the word of God. He didn't use his own ability. He used his own words, because we know that he was the word of God. He is the word. But he did not stoop down to give the devil what he wanted. And that was for him to prove his worth to him. The devil had everything to offer the Lord that day, because the Bible tells that he's the prince and the power of the air. He had all the kingdoms. He has the power over this world at this time. But the Lord said, I will endure the cross. I will despise the shame. The devil was trying to give him an easy way out. But instead, God decided that he was going to stay on the course that his father had for him. In Proverbs 16:18, the Bible tells that pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And if we're not careful, we'll get puffed up in our pride of life, and we'll start doing things just to prove who we are to God. And that we're doing things, we're so good, but that's when we will fall. These are the main areas in which every person has been tempted since the fall of man. The devil's objective was to get Eve to think that she was missing out, that somehow God was holding back for himself, that she was more and could be more if only she would listen to him. And that's the same thing the devil does today. He'll say, you could be so much more if you would just do this or that. But who we need to follow is we need to follow Lord Jesus Christ. God has everything that we could ever want, dream, or desire in heaven for us. And he might let us see some of that on earth. We might be very comfortable here. But in heaven, we have a mansion. We don't need a mansion on earth. We don't need fancy cars, fancy clothes, because God has everything prepared for us in heaven. So the devil will tempt us in those things. We must keep pressing on. But lastly, I not only find the tempter and the temptations, but we find the triumphing that the Lord had. Christ is our victor. He overcame, He was tempted, but he relied on the word of God. He was the word. His victory gives us hope. It gives us assurance that if we abide in him, he will give us the power over our enemies. In John 15:4, the Bible says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." In Galatians 5:16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." And then in 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will suffer you to be tempted, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." The Bible says that we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. But the Bible says that if we abide in him, as we've already read in John 15, that if we abide in him and we let him, then he will abide in us and he will give us the power to overcome our temptations. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Jesus did not try to use the flesh to win this war. Why is that? Because our weapons are not carnal. The Lord gave us the blueprint for the spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6, where the Bible says, starting in verse 11, "To put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." With this blueprint, we will be equipped to overcome the devil. The word, however, does no good if we're not walking in the Spirit. If we are not indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God, walking in his footsteps, walking in his will and in his ways, then we will not be able to defeat the devil. The word of God only works if we are leaning on Christ and the Holy Spirit. When we do that, God will give us the victory. So church, the devil is coming. There's no question about it. He's here to tempt us. He's here to destroy us. He does not want the work of the Lord to be done. There are temptations, and the Lord told us exactly what they were so we wouldn't be blindsided when they came up. But he didn't leave us there. He overcame them for us. He gave us something to look forward to. The Bible tells in Hebrews chapter 12 that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we're going through these trials and our tribulations that we go through day to day, look to Jesus. He despised the shame. He took the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But instead, he chose to lay down his life so that you and me could be free. Not just free from, not just to go to heaven, but to be free from our flesh. And I understand that we live in this flesh, that we walk in this flesh, that we will never truly defeat the old man until the Lord comes back and gives us the new body. We'll have a much better chance if we walk in Christ, if we're talking to him on a daily basis. That's why he told us to pray without ceasing. Because if we're not praying, if we're not talking to him, we'll lose that communication, that fellowship with him. That sin will break that off, and then we have no power. The power is in the Holy Spirit. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we grieve the Spirit, we can't walk in the newness of life. We can't do it by ourselves. It takes the word of God. And I've found in my own life, going through some things, that sometimes I'll start thinking that, oh, I'm reading my Bible enough now. I'm praying enough now. I'm witnessing to enough people now. I'm not afraid to tell the people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll start thinking of myself like I'm doing something. But be careful there, because when you start thinking that you are doing something, that I'm doing something on my own, that is when the devil's coming. He's waiting for us to get our mind off of Christ. And he's waiting for us, as soon as we get our mind off, and we start looking left, we start looking right, and we quit looking up, that is when he'll come at us. But Christ gave us a triumphing. He gave us a victory. and if we'll follow his rules, if we will not try to defeat the devil in our own ways, but with his word. He gave us his words. The Bible says that wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. The Bible says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's his word that enlightens the way, that shows us the way to everlasting life, that shows us the way to a life of peace and true happiness. The devil offers a counterfeit life of true peace and happiness. And when we feel like as soon as we've gotten there, he'll pull the rug out from under us. The Bible tells us there's pleasure in sin for a season, but there's only a season. The Bible told us that Moses decided to leave the pleasures of Egypt to suffer the affliction with the people of God. He would rather endure those things with his people than to have all the pleasures that Egypt could offer him. They were all at his fingertips, but he forsook them all so he might save us. In a type and picture, that he might save Israel, that God would be able to use him. And that's what Jesus did. He had all the splendors of heaven, and yet he came down to be born of a virgin. We just celebrated Christmas, to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect, sinless life, a life that we could look to as our guide for what we should be like. We ought to strive to be like Christ tonight. Amen. Thank you, church, for having me tonight. Appreciate the opportunity. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this account, dear God, that we can lean on, that, dear God, we can truly understand that you have fought the battle for us. That, dear God, if we will only trust you, trust your Word, believe your Word, have faith in your Word, then we can also live a life that, dear God, would be full of peace, happiness, and joy. That, dear God, we don't have to fall many of the times that we do. Lord, we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Lord, I pray that we keep our eyes upon Jesus. We look to you. Dear God, you'd give us the strength to face the enemy in the days to come. Because, Lord, he's coming. But, Lord, you've given us the victory. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.